الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers and elders, firstly I greet you with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has once again blessed us with this wonderful and beautiful day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ The best day in which the sun can rise is the day of Jumu'ah. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a wonderful opportunity one more time in our life to witness this blessed day. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah always grant us the azmat and the respect of the day of Jumu'ah, and may Allah grant us all the ability to make best use of this day. We should recite abundant durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this day of Jumu'ah, and we should make as much dua as possible on this day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being our creator, sustainer and nourisher, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and put us in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the nature of man such that man always needs somebody to accompany him in this world. He always needs somebody to share his happiness with, and he needs somebody to share his sadness with. He always needs that support and that companionship in his worldly life. That is why one of the means to torture a human being or to torture insan is to take him and confine him to four walls and seclude him from the rest of mankind. To seclude a person is also a means of torturing a man, because by nature man has to mix with people, he has to have companionship in his life. Now one is the various companions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts around an individual, like his parents, his siblings, his brothers, his sisters, his friends, his teachers. The most important companion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed insan with is for a man, his wife, and for a wife, her husband. This is the most beautiful companionship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for insan. When we look at our father Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent him to live in Jannah. So outwardly we would say that Adam alayhi salam was in the most perfect place and there was nothing more he could have asked for. He was the first man created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was made to live in Jannah, which is a place of total bliss and peace, every wish and desire fulfilled. But still this was not enough for Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. He was not complete. There was still something missing from his life. It was only that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his spouse Hawa alayhi salam, did Adam alayhi salam now really find that peace and tranquility in Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created? Because now he had someone to share his joy with, he had some companionship even in Jannah. Now this gives us some sort of message of how important it is that spouse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in our life. The husband for the wife and the wife for the husband. Each person independently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen our spouses. It is a divine decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when we look at the situation of the world at large and when we look at the situation of our Muslim ummah, we find that this is a major problem that the world is facing right now. It's a major challenge and an epidemic that is currently in the world. When we look at the rate of divorce, when we look at the rate of the problems in marriages, not only in Muslims, look at it globally, look at it nationally, we'll find it's the same scenario wherever we look. To a certain extent, we'll say that we as Muslims, it's a little bit more controlled in the drastic measures that are taken when a spouse or when a couple has a problem. How often it is you open the newspaper or you see the news that a husband and wife had some argument or some small dispute took place. So the husband takes out his gun, he'll kill his wife, he'll kill his children, and he'll kill himself. Or he'll end up killing himself. So that's the drastic measures that people resort to when we look at the world at large. And then when we look at it as a Muslim ummah ourselves, we find that this is a challenge we are definitely facing. And it's a problem wherever we look. Now for us to sit back and pinpoint one or two issues, it's absolutely impossible, because every problem and every marriage comes with its own merits and it comes with its own challenges. No two problems are the same. But let's look at the verse in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about marriage, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a message and tells us what each marriage supposed to contain, or what each couple supposed to derive from their marriage. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the companionship or the union between husband and wife as something from His signs, from His power and from His qudra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 21st juz of the Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudra, from His power and from His signs, that He has created for you spouses from your own species, from yourself, from your own human, from human beings. Allah has created spouses for you from your own creed. And the first and foremost thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may derive sukoon, peace and tranquility from your marriage and from your spouse. This is what the husband supposed to get from his wife, and this is what the wife supposed to get from her husband. Now if we look at the word sukoon, peace, tranquility, a calm and serene and beautiful environment, that is the first thing that you're supposed to be getting. And then we turn our eyes away and we look at the reality on the ground floor, we'll find that sometimes it is the total opposite of sukoon, peace and tranquility that a person gets, or that a woman is getting for that matter. No two parties, nobody is innocent. Sometimes it's the fault of the husband, sometimes it's the fault of the wife. We can't take sides, but we're talking on a general basis. So the first and foremost thing that a person is supposed to get is sukoon. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made between the husband and wife مَوَدَّةً, love, وَرَحْمَةً, and mercy. Now these are the three fundamental things that every marriage is supposed to contain. And all those that are married couples, we know for a fact that if a marriage has to contain these three things, how beautiful and wonderful life will be. If the first thing that you were getting was peace, comfort and tranquility, your home was a wonderful environment, and there was a strong bond of love between you and your spouse, and there was a source of mercy between you and your spouse, and very beautifully, the commentators of the Quran, they explain these two words, love and mercy, as being love in the primary years of a marriage, when the couple is young, when the physical features are at its peak, and then they describe mercy comes in so beautifully into the marriage as the couple ages and they gracefully grow older. So as they grow older, now they are a source of mercy unto one another. Now this is supposed to happen as the marriage matures. Now sometimes as the marriage goes further and further, it is like holding on to burning charcoal or holding on to threads. So it's the opposite of mercy that happens. The couples tend to get more impatient with each other, and now they can't stand each other. Whereas the Quran, if we look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that as the marriage is supposed to advance in years, there's more mercy that's supposed to come in that marriage. There's more love and muhabbah that's supposed to come into that marriage. Now these are the three important things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about with regards to our marriage. But we know what is the reality on the ground floor. When we talk of sukoon, peace and tranquility, so on a lighter note, a man comes home early from work one day. So his wife says that, how come you came home early today? You decided to come spend extra time at home. So he says that, no, I went to work today and the boss got very upset with all of us. He told us we all must go to hell. So I followed his advice. Now, we laugh at this, but sometimes this is the exact situation in homes. Instead of it being a place of peace and tranquility, it's a place of contempt, it's a place of anger. It's like at any time it's going to reach boiling point. Now we ask ourselves the question that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a perfect deen, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such beautiful guidelines with regards to marriage, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of marriage as being one of His signs and part of His qudra, then why is it that we find ourselves in the situation that we are in? We look at the hadiths of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We look at the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every aspect of a man's married life or a woman's married life has been taken care of, and they have been advised accordingly. So when your ta'lim and your teaching is so perfect and the route has been set out, why is it that we are in the situation that we find ourselves in? As I mentioned in the beginning, to pinpoint one or two things is absolutely impossible, because every challenge is different and every problem is different. But today, inshallah, let's look at what the Quran and Sunnah says, and then we'll try and mold ourselves into that. And definitely by following that, a man will definitely see a difference in his life. When we look at the first and foremost example, the perfect example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the practical role model that Allah has blessed us with, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he say regarding his family? He says that khayrukum khayrukum li ahli wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best amongst you is that man who is best to his family. So if you want to gauge whether you are a good man, if you want to gauge whether you are a good person, don't ask your friends, don't ask your business associates, and don't ask those people that you probably donate to. You want to know if you're the best of people, ask your family. If they attest to your greatness and to your goodness, then definitely you from amongst the best of people. And then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that practically I have demonstrated it myself in my own example, wa ana khayrukum li ahli, I'm the best that I can possibly be to my family. Now sometimes if you look at both the spouses, the husband and the wife, we withhold the best of ourselves for everybody other than our own spouse. You'll see a man when he's walking on the street, to everybody he's smiling, to everybody he's chatting with very merrily. We go to a shop and the person is serving us across the counter, there's a wonderful smile on our face, how are you ma'am, how are you doing? And all those smiles, that softness, that love, that good character, the best of us is reserved for everybody else. But the moment the man enters his home, it's now the tyrant has come home. Now, and sometimes it's the exact opposite. The woman the whole day, she's busy talking to everybody in a wonderful manner, she's giving off the best of her character to everybody except her husband. The moment the man comes home, now it's like he's entered into a different domain and territory. There's an immediate change in our mood, there's an immediate change in the way we conduct ourselves. Whereas, we're not saying it's supposed to be the opposite. As Muslims, it's our duty to display the best of our character and conduct to everybody around us. So it's not that we leave our bad for everybody else and we keep the good at home. We got to have a perfect balance of goodness out of our home and goodness in our home. So when we enter our home, but that is the most important time that we display the best of our character. Look at the daily scenario of people around us and of our homes, and we'll see the man comes home tired from work, he's had a hectic day, he's had a difficult day, he needs that peace and quiet, he needs that time alone, he needs that comfort and that rest. But the moment he enters his home, the wife is already waiting for him. That whole day these children are finishing me, so many things I had to see to, and this and that, and the whole list of complaints is given. Now the man wonders that should I have been longer out of the house, or what have I come into? So that's like the normal situation that happens. Whereas when a man enters his home, it's supposed to be a domain and a place of peace, tranquility and muhabba. It's supposed to be a calm and serene environment. A man has to look forward to entering his house. The woman's supposed to be looking forward to the entrance and the arrival of her husband. When we look at the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, I'm sure most of us must have come across the incident of that Sahabi, that lady in the time of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Her husband had gone out in some jihad and he was in some battle and he was due to return on a certain day. And it so happened that the day that he returned home, his infant child had passed away in his home. So now the mother is in a dilemma, she doesn't know what to do, that my husband is coming home after so long from jihad. He's looking forward to coming home, I'm also looking forward to his arrival. Now we face with this calamity that the child has passed away. So she takes the child and she leaves the child in her bed and she does not say anything. The husband comes home, she greets him with a wonderful smiling face as if nothing is wrong. She does not wish to burden him with this problem right now. She comforts him, she gives him his meal, they go to bed that night. And the next morning, she chooses the appropriate time and she tells her husband, she puts it to him very beautifully and she says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person a ni'mah or an amana, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away that amana, is it something fair that Allah has done or something unjust? So he says, no, it's absolutely fair that if an amana is given to you, it has to be returned. So then she tells her husband that the child that Allah had given us was an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has taken his amana back. But I did not want to burden you with this news last night. You were tired, you came home after so long. I thought I'd give you the best of treatment and try and break the news to you when you have settled down in your home. Now this Sahabi, at first it was a shock to him. He got upset, he went to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that, O Nabi of Allah, I can't understand why my wife did something like this. Why couldn't she tell me the moment I came home? Why did she hide the news from me? So then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calms down the Sahabi and he says that, listen, look at the etiquette that your wife has displayed to you. Look at the respect that she has shown to you, that she did not want to burden you with this problem the moment you entered home. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed your union. Inshallah, Allah will bless you with another child as well. Now we look at the story, it's something which is startling and amazing. That can it be possible for a woman to conduct herself and hide her emotion in this manner? For what reason? Solely for the comfort and peace of her husband. Now that is with regards to the wife. What about the husband himself? Sometimes we go through challenges with a woman. Very often a man will quote that Islam has given me more rights. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. That we have the authority. Why have we been given the authority to a certain degree? Fairness is there. They have rights and we have rights as well. So it's not that we way above them and they below us. No, no. There's no such thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given rights to both parties. But if you say you have a degree of preference above the woman, there's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to you. Because it's for you to display a greater level of tolerance and a greater level of respect for your spouse. You got to rise up to that challenge. As they say that every position of authority comes with an extra degree of challenge. You got to give off extra, the boss has to give off more than the normal worker. If the normal worker makes a mistake, he's the worker. But if the boss makes a mistake, the whole company can fall down. The whole company is at detriment. So the higher you go, the more responsibility is on your shoulder. So as men, it's more our duty to take care of our spouses. And inshallah, today we're just going to look at three very simple things that each person or each marriage should try and bring within it. Number one is appreciation. As we mentioned earlier, our deen has taken care of every part of our marriage, A to Z. But today let's just look at three, A, B and C, three simple things. Number one is appreciation. For each spouse to appreciate one another, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divinely chosen your spouse for you. They say marriages are made in heaven. Allah has chosen your spouse for you. The day you came in this world, your rizq was already ordained. How long you're going to live was already ordained. And your spouse, which you were supposed to marry, was already chosen for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while we're on this note, it doesn't give our youngsters the license to explore the avenues that they do when choosing their spouse. We got to desist and move away from the ways of the kuffar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already chosen our spouse. So it's not that now we're going into matchmaking and going out and all these sort of things. We need to desist from this practice because our spouses have already been chosen for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, at the appropriate time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send that spouse to you. So the first thing is appreciation. And there was one marriage counselor that very notably pointed out, and he said, whenever a couple comes to me for counseling or they come to me for a session, he says, the first thing I do is I'll give the wife a piece of paper and I'll give the husband a piece of paper and I'll tell them both, write down a list of things that you truly appreciate about your spouse. And he says that often I find when these notes come back to me, they're very brief and concise. There's very, very short points written over there. So he says, for example, I look at the page of the wife and I ask her that you haven't written here that your husband financially supports you very well. So she says, oh, I never thought of that as something to appreciate. That's more his duty. So then he says, okay, but you haven't noted here that your husband is faithful to you. So she says, no, I never thought that would be something that I should appreciate. So he says, I look at the note of the husband and I'll find simple things missing. So I'll ask him that you haven't noted your wife cooks for you on a daily basis. Isn't that something that you should appreciate? Then he makes a statement and he says that why is it in most marriages, appreciation is only given when a spouse goes over and above the call of duty. When something extraordinary is done, then appreciation is shown. Why is appreciation not shown for the things that take place on a daily basis? For the fact that a woman is at home every day, looking after our home, looking after our stomach, looking after our children. So if we have to, on a daily basis, just show that verbal appreciation, that thank you for whatever you have done for me. You have prepared such a wonderful meal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. On the part of the wife, that verbal appreciation on the daily basis for the simple things that the husband does. The fact that he has provided for her a wonderful home to stay in. He has provided for her sustenance. He has done so much for her. He's looking after her chastity as well. Each spouse is looking after the chastity of each other. So that verbal appreciation always needs to be shown. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will definitely increase His favors and His ni'mats upon us. And another hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. That man who has not appropriately thanked insan, he has in fact shown ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Because it is Allah that allowed the people around us to assist us and for goodness to come our way. So by you thanking people, you know, sometimes people, they are modest, so they say, no, don't thank me, it's all from Allah. But it's the man's duty to thank you, because by him thanking you, he's actually shown gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So this is something that we need to bring in our life, that little bit of appreciation and thanks for the things that happen on a daily basis in our homes. And the second thing that we need to look at is that each couple needs to be a source of betterment for each other. We very often quote the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we very often hear the hadith in almost every nikah that takes place. And today there's no nikah taking place. Normally the issue of marriage is only discussed when the nikah is going to take place. Today there's no nikah, but we're looking at those people that are already married and those people that intend to get to marry. That each couple, we say that when a person makes nikah, then he has completed half his iman. That means he has moved a step closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, as being married, couples need to grow in their deen and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happens today is when a couple comes together, then instead of being a source of betterment to each other, they sometimes bring out the worst in each other. We tend to focus only on the faults of each other. You know, they say that before marriage, couples look at each other with rose-tinted glasses. Nobody can see any fault in the spouse. Sometimes even if it's blatantly shown to you, you can't see it. But the moment marriage takes place, then now suddenly that rose-tinted glass turns into a magnifying glass. Now something small becomes major, it's a major issue, I can't live with it. We only focus on the weaknesses of each other. But what about the goodness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept? In the Quran Allah says, عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It can be very possible that thing, you dislike something, but Allah has kept a lot of goodness in that for you. And sometimes it can be the opposite way, that you like something, but it's to your detriment. There's something that's not going to go your way over there. So we should not focus on the negatives of each other, but rather we focus on the good qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in each spouse. The husband look at the good qualities of his wife and overlook the faults. Nobody is perfect. If we are not perfect, how can we expect somebody else to be perfect, and we want perfection from them? We cannot give off perfection ourselves. So we got to be fair both ways. We look at the goodness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in each other. And slowly, inshallah, that good will either diminish in our eyes, or that will also, the bad will diminish in our eyes, and the good will also grow inshallah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist each one of us. Now one is the challenges that we face with couples that newly are married. But even if we look at those marriages that are 30 and 40 years old, it doesn't mean if our marriage has lasted a long period of time, then that's a very good and healthy marriage. Sometimes the people are just holding on to something that's non-existent. They're just together for the sake of being together. There's no love, there's no muhabba, there's no mercy in that union, even though it might be 30 or 40 years old. There was one person celebrating his 50th anniversary. Now we're not saying we should celebrate anniversaries, but it was 50 years that the couple was married. So the grandson tells his grandfather that how was it, one of the things that they were celebrating was 50 years, not one day they ever had an argument. Now that's definitely an achievement, it's something which is practically impossible. So the grandson tells his grandfather that, tell me, oh my grandfather, how you manage this? 50 years you were married to my granny and not one day you ever had an argument. So he says, oh my grandson, it started a long time ago when we first got married. We went for a small honeymoon to spend some time together and we went horse riding. So I was in the front and your granny was behind me, and we were moving along. So her horse started to gallop, and you know, it started to become rowdy. So she says that's once. So I turned on, I asked her, is everything okay? She says, no, it's fine, carry on. He says, we moved a little bit more further, her horse gave some problem again. She says, that's twice. So I turned on, I asked her, is everything fine? She says, no, it's fine, let's proceed, let's carry on. He says, the third time her horse gave a problem, suddenly I hear a bang. He says, I turned on, I saw that she shot her horse. So I asked her that, hey, what happened? She tells me, that's once. So then I said, I'm only asking. She said, that's twice. He said, from then till now, 50 years later, we never ever had an argument, we never had a problem. So it's not that our marriages are 30 and 40 years old, that they're very smooth and everything is running well. Sometimes there can be issues there as well. And one very important thing we need to take note of, it's never ever too late for a person to seek help or for a couple to seek help. There's absolutely nothing to feel shy about. If a person is sick, he needs to go to the doctor. He doesn't feel shy that I have a problem, I have a complication, I need to go to the doctor, I need to get help. If according to the law a person has some challenge, he'll go to the lawyer, he won't feel shy that no, I don't want anyone to know I have a problem. If we have a problem, we go and seek help for everything in our life. Why is it that we don't do the same when it comes to something so important as the union of marriage that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created? And the third very, very important thing that each person needs to bring into his life and each couple needs to bring into a marriage is communication. For each spouse to communicate with each other in a very good and positive manner. Now this is one of the main issues that bring downfalls in marriages. That no couple can sit down and really discuss an issue. If it's a small thing, it becomes a major issue. Nobody can sit down and level-headed have a discussion and come to some compromise and sort out the problem. And when we talk of communication, you know, they say in the first year of marriage, the husband talks and the wife listens. The second year of marriage, the wife talks, the husband listens. And for the remainder of their married life, husband and wife talk and the neighbors are listening. We're not talking of that sort of communication. But this is good, positive communication where each couple can sit down and discuss a problem, discuss an issue and come to some sort of compromise and better that marriage and move forward. Today, for the smallest of issues, a couple is separated and the whole marriage is broken down. Then we come to the issue of talaq and divorce. This is an avenue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as a total last resort in a marriage. But today, something which was a total last resort has become the first option when a problem takes place. I always give this example. Many of us have sat in an aircraft, or almost all of us have sat in an aircraft at some point or the other in our life. Now when you sit in that aircraft, you see there's an emergency exit door. Now is that door there for the purpose that the moment there's some turbulence in mid-air, you open the door and you jump off the plane? No, nobody does that. Nobody would even think of doing that. The reason why that has been put there as a total last resort, when you have no other option, when now your life is at risk, then you'll explore that avenue. Then you will open that door and we don't even know where you'll end up. But as a total last resort, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this avenue of talaq. It's not something just to be thrown about and to be turned to the moment some problem takes place. But rather this whole guidelines that the Quran gives the moment problems arise in a marriage. And if those guidelines are followed, then in most instances, inshallah, that marriage will be saved and that couple will grow together in their deen and the union will get stronger and they'll get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's our duty as Muslims, for those people who are married, each man needs to look at his marriage and see, am I getting the three fundamental things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about? One is sukoon, the other is love, and the third is mercy. And then we need to look at the other three things that we need to bring in our life: appreciation, betterment, and communication. And if any person once is intending to get married, it's necessary that we go for a little while, sit in the company of some alim, attend some course or some seminar to know what is the challenges of marriage, to know what to look forward to and what you're going to get in marriage. Today when you talk about marriage, we only think of Hollywood and Bollywood, that everything is about romance, everything is about laughing, and everything is about cheerful. But it's really about challenges. There are challenges that will come about. We need to be prepared and equipped for those challenges. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to bring the wonderful teachings of our deen in our life. And by us bringing the teachings of our deen in life, we'll definitely see a difference in our life and we'll see that it will be easy for us to overcome each and every problem that we will face. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.